For future reference, in case you didn't catch it in Sunday school, we're going to go back to what we were doing before. Whenever Sunday school ends, 20 minutes after that, we're going to start the morning service. So that's what we're going to be doing from now on. Hopefully all of you have a copy of the 101 book. We'll be using that this morning. Let's turn to number 27. 27 in the 101 book.
Yeah. announcements. Jim, if you want to come on up and give yours, that would be good.
Either one.
Okay, like I said, in Sunday school, what we're doing is Pastor Eddie needs $60 extra dollars to send out for his medical expenses. So what we're going to do is, if you like to give, put it in an envelope, mark it just mark it medical expenses, put it in the Pastor Eddie box, and we'll take care of that. Also, a gentleman that used to come here to our church, Brother John Vassell, his wife recently died, for those who know him. We'd like to take an offering for him to offset some of his funeral costs. So if you just like to contribute to that, put it in a white envelope, mark it John Vassell or John V, put it in a brown box, and we'll make sure it gets off to him. We're going to be collecting that this Sunday and next Sunday also. And also, as we just started this morning, the church service is going to start 20 minutes after Sunday school. So that usually 20 minutes after Sunday school, usually like about quarter of, 10 of, we'll be starting church service on Sunday morning, starting now and continuing. Okay, right, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. On that note with Debbie Vass's passing, there is a card over here that along with the collected money will be sent out to Brother John. And if you would like to write a little note of encouragement in there, that will be here both today and through this week. So if you would like to write a note, that would be good, and then we'll send that out to them. I noticed we have a visitor with us today. Welcome. Glad to have you with us today. She's already received a visitor packet. I trust you'll fill that out and turn that in, please. And please let us know how you heard about our church. We're very interested in that, okay? Thank you. Also, don't forget our services. This week, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll have our Wednesday prayer and Bible study. If you're able to come, we'd love to have you here. And then following a Bible time of study, then we split up into groups and pray men with men and ladies with ladies. So trust that you'll come and have a good time praying to the Lord. Also, Saturday, May 20th, we're going to have a church work day. Between now and then, if you would like to take a look around the church grounds and kind of see what things you might be interested in working on, and if you have special tools that might help with the accomplishing of that task, why don't you bring those with you? So take a look around and see what we can do there. So starting at 9 o'clock in the morning that Saturday on the 20th, we'll be having a church work day. And there will be some donuts and stuff like that for those of you who would like a little snack. Keep your energy up to do the work. Next Sunday is what we're calling Ordinance Sunday. We celebrate the Lord's table, and we also will have baptism on that Sunday if anyone would like to be baptized. If you've been saved and haven't been baptized yet, please see Brother Renzi following the service, and we would love to get you set up to do that if you need to be baptized. I think that's it, except for your announcement.
All right, guys, it's that time of year where we got to cut grass, and it's growing. We need to cut it every week. So I made a sign-up sheet. It's on the back table over here. There's a few names on it already, but there's still some dates left. So if you would like to help out cutting the grass, it's going to take you about an hour. All the equipment that you need is in the shed. And if you've never done it before, we can show you how to use the equipment. That's not a problem. So if you'd like to do that, go ahead and sign up on that sheet there. That way we'll know from week to week who's taking care of the responsibilities of cutting the grass. And one guy doesn't get stuck with it every week. So if you can take care of that, that'll be good. On the week of the 20th, I already have it on there, but we won't really need anybody to sign up for that. Somebody will take care of it. Yes. I have. I wrote on there somewhere between Thursday and Saturday. You should try to get it cut. You need to try to get it done then. If you do it on a Monday, it doesn't really help us for Sunday services. So Thursday to Saturday, take a look at the weather. If it's going to rain Saturday and you're not going to be able to cut it, then you need to get up here a little bit earlier, Thursday or Friday. And if you can't do it and you signed up, don't feel bad. Just call me or let me know a week or so ahead of time that you can't do it, and we'll get somebody to take care of it. Okay?
That's it.
Yeah, the keys are. If whoever signs up, if you need directions on where the keys are and how to get equipment and fueled up and stuff like that, just see me and we'll take care of that.
The only additional comment I have about that is, if we get low on gas for the mower, please let me know and I will make sure we get more. Okay, so we should be okay for the moment. All right, let's take our books again and we'll turn to.
Oh,
Sing because He watches me. Oh, I know He watches me.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everyone. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 2? 1 Timothy chapter number 2. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. On the Lord's day, and we welcome each and every one this morning. If you would, please, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. This morning, I'm going to read this text. We're going to read verses 1 to 8 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. And then I'm going to just take a thought out of this text and share some thoughts with you this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. In fact, this is a great book that really emphasizes on the local church. And in chapter number 2, verses 1 to 8, one of the things that local churches need is praying men. Praying men. Men pray. And then if you'll read verses 9 and on, toward the end, it has the emphasis on women in the church. And I've entitled that part, Purposed Women. Praying men and purposed women. That's what local churches need, and that's what this church needs. But would you look with me beginning in verse number 1? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. The local church needs praying others, if you will. Verse number 2 says this, pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this, referring to praying for people and authorities, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse number 4 says, who will have all men to be saved. Isn't it wonderful that God wants everybody to be saved? It's a sad thing that everybody won't be saved, but it will not be God's fault. Amen. I believe in whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And I believe that God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And so the Bible says in verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And by the way, that's how people get saved. They come to the knowledge of the truth. Some people misunderstandingly think that, well, if you get somebody to pray a prayer, that's what's going to save them. You know, praying a prayer without understanding is not going to save anybody. Amen. It's the understanding of the truth of the gospel that saves sinners. Amen. Verse number 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And it talks about Jesus in verse number 6, who gave himself a ransom for who? For all. Amen. By the way, that's why God wants all to be saved. Jesus died for all. Amen. Verse number 6 goes on to be testified in due time. Verse number 7, Paul said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in verity and faith. Now, verses 3 to 7 is kind of like a parenthesis, a thought that he gets off of. Verses 1 and 2 were emphasizing the need for praying for all men and especially for those in authority in our government, if you will. He picks up the thought of prayer in verse number 8, if you will, and this will be the focus of the verse that I want to, or the verse that I want to focus on, if you will. He says in verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray, and it's the context to me of the local church, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so we can see within this text that God wants the local church to be praying for others and especially to be praying for our governmental leaders. Amen. And the most important prayer that we can pray for government is for God to save people. Amen. No doubt about it. That's a wonderful thing. But in verse number 8, there's an emphasis on man praying and lifting up holy hands. And I want to speak a little bit this morning on the thought of holy hands. Holy hands. What in the world are holy hands? And I want to look at some things this morning. By the way, let me just say this in starting it off, that holy hands refers to a morally clean life. A morally clean life. Amen. And by the way, I'm not talking about basic morality that made some of the world holds. In fact, the world doesn't hold basic morality anymore, do they? I think the morality of the world has gone so far to the left, it's actually crazy. Amen. It is God's will for you and I as Christians to have what? Holy hands. Amen. What does that mean? That means hands, by the way, that's a representative of our life, if you will. Clean moral lives is what we ought to have. Amen. In fact, there's a verse in Psalm 24 and verse number 4 that uses the term clean hands and a pure heart synonymously. Amen. God's will for you and I that are saved, by the way, is that we live our lives according to the word of God and to keep our lives clean. Amen. We live, as you well know, in a very immoral world. Amen. And I believe the morality of the world is getting worse and worse, and it's going to get worse and worse. In fact, we are told in the scripture that men are going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are people that think that, well, once the world gets better, Jesus is coming back. That's not the case, folks. Until he comes back, it's not going to get better. Amen? Until he comes back. But the Bible here emphasizes, by the way, that men, especially in the context of prayer in the local church, need to be able to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Now, I want you to see a couple things this morning. The first thing I want us to note, and would you turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah, chapter number 1. I want us to see some things about holy hands this morning. Again, remember, the thought of holy hands is a reference to a morally clean life. Amen. If I can put it in a simple term, it's basically being right with the Lord. Amen. By the way, you've heard that term, right? Being right with the Lord, amen? Keeping our Christian lives and making sure that we don't allow sin to come between us and the Lord, amen? In our personal lives, in our day-to-day living. I want to give you some thoughts about holy hands this morning. Number one, I want you to get this thought, if you will. Holy hands are the key to being heard by God. By the way, that is the very context of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. He's saying we need to be able to pray, and the people that pray need to be able to lift up what? Holy hands unto the Lord, amen? Without wrath and without doubting, amen? Why holy hands? Clean hands, a representative of a clean life, a Christian life, if you will. That is the key, and that is the way of having answered prayer, amen? Being heard by God. And by the way, we all need answered prayer, don't we? Can I get an amen on that one? We all need answered prayer, there ain't no doubt about it. Because we all need the Lord. Amen. Look with me, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter number 1. I want you to look with me in verse number 15. We'll just look at verse number 15. The Bible says this. And when you spread forth your hands, he's speaking to the Jewish people. When you spread forth your hands, he said this. God said, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. I will not hear. Why? Your hands are full of blood. Obviously murder. Even perhaps the murdering of their children, if you will. Amen? Given over to false gods. God said, when you reach out your hands, and by the way, when I think of the term reaching out our hands, I think of a little kid reaching out to their parents. I need some help here. Amen? And reaching out to get a hold of God. Reaching out because we need the Lord. Amen? And God said, listen, when you reach out dirty hands to me, when you're trying to get a hold of me, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to answer you. One of the things that I thought about in preparing this was I could probably entitle this sermon, Good Reasons to Stay Right with the Lord. Amen. Holy hands are the key to answering prayer. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. By the way, I'm just taking you through the scriptures to prove the truth of the point, the truth of the point. Amen. And by the way, that's what preaching is all about, is it not? You make a statement and then you back it up with scripture. If we want to be convinced that this is really what God said and really what God meant, then we need to see it in the scriptures. Amen. Because if we can be convinced and persuaded of these things, it can affect our lives. Amen. There are many preachers make many statements, but they don't preach to, they don't show you from the Bible how to back up those truths. Amen. And so that's what preaching is all about. I want you to look with me, please, Psalms chapter 34. And I want you to look at verse number, let's begin in verse number 12. Psalm 34, look at verse number 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Might I say it this way? What man wants to enjoy a good life? I want the good life. Don't you want the good life? Amen. Here's what he says, and that's the question. Hey, do you want a good life? Do you want to live a good life? You want to have many days and you want to see good days? Here's what he says. He kind of gives us the prescription for that. Beginning in verse number 13. Here it is. Ready? Keep your tongue from evil. You want to see good days? Then say good things. Our mouth can get us into trouble. Amen. Verse number 13, he goes on. And keep your lips from speaking guile. Don't speak evil and don't speak lies. Basically, what is he saying? Speak right. Speak right. Speak the right way and speak the right things. Amen. Look what he says. He continues. Verse number 14. This is the prescription for a good life. Depart from what? Evil. You're not going to have a good life living in sin. That's not the good life. I know that some of the commercials on TV make it look like drinking beer and drinking wine and smoking and all these other things. That's the good life. That's not the good life. I think most of the people that they use to make those commercials don't drink and smoke. Can I get a witness on that one? They put somebody up there that's got no teeth and that's got this, that, and the other thing, and with a cigarette in their mouth and the beer in their hand, you know, standing outside, you know, of a broken down home and so on. That would be more honest about it. Amen. And that's not the good life, right? He said, look, you want a good life? He said, you need to speak right. And then verse number 40, you need to do right. He says, depart from evil and do what? Do good. By the way, I wrote this down. If you want to see good, you got to do good. That's what he said in verse number 12. You want to see good? Do good. Amen. Verse number 14, he says, seek peace and pursue it. Now he goes on to say in verse number 15, here's why you can have a good life if you'll speak right and do right. And by the way, we got to be careful because we can very easily sin with our lips. Ain't that the truth? In fact, Job went through all that he went through on this earth, and it says he sinned not with his lips. Amen. So here's what he says. By the way, here's the reason. You want a good life? Do right. Speak right. Here's the key. Verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon who? The righteous. And his ears are open to their cry. You see, he is the one who gives you his attention, and also he'll answer your prayer if you're righteous. Now, some of you may think, brother, I know the scriptures a little bit, and that righteous, that has to do with our position in Christ. If you're positionally righteous, then that's not what that has to do with. Because the doctrine of positional righteousness don't really come in till the New Testament. The essence of this righteous is this, doing right. Doing right. So what does he say? Speak right, do right. Why? Because God sees and God hears and God answers the righteous, those who do right. Amen. Let's read on. Verse number 16. The face of the Lord is against them that what? Do evil. See the contrast? Doing righteousness, and then you got doing evil. His face is against those that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Look at verse number 17. The righteous what? Cry, that's prayer, and the Lord what? Heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse number 19, if you'll skip down. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Amen. The context of this, if you want to see the good life, then you need to make sure that you're living right and living righteous and doing what you ought to do. Keep your hands clean. Amen. Keep your hands clean. It's the key to answered prayer. In fact, let me say this. James Don't turn there. James chapter number 5, verse number 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he uses, by way of an example, Elijah. Elijah was able to pray and shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. And then he was able to pray again and the rains came down. Amen. He uses Elijah as an example of somebody who was righteous. By the way, do not confuse living righteously with living perfectly. They're not the same. There's not a just man on earth who does good and sins not. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7:20. We're not told to live perfectly because we can never be perfect. But we are told to live righteously. What does that mean? Hey, listen, if I'm going to fall, may I fall going up the steps. Amen. And not going down. Fall doing right. Amen. I want you to note. Don't turn there. Let me quote it for you. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Here's another one for you, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7 talks about husbands. And by the way, this is one of the good reasons to keep our marital relations good. Amen. The husband is to honor his wife as she is the weaker vessel, as a weaker vessel, that our prayers be not hindered. Amen. See, if we're not righteous, if we're not living right, if we're not doing what we ought to do, if our hands are dirty, God's not going to hear and answer our prayers. Good motivation to keep clean. Amen. Good motivation to keep clean. Now I want you to turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter number 58. You see, holy hands is the key to being heard by God. Amen. Oh, how we need to be heard by God. We need to be heard by God, not just for ourselves, amen, but for others that we're praying for. If you have children, you need to be heard by God, amen. And if you have grandchildren, you need to be heard by God, amen. Our prayers, and thank God, let me say this, our prayers, thank God, can make a difference in the lives of our loved ones. Amen. Even if they're not what they ought to be, amen? Even if they're not saved, we could be praying their protection, amen? We could be praying for God's watch care over them. Boy, I can't help but think about Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah because of who? Lot, amen? That was his major concern. And the Lord got him out of there, right? Got Lot out of there. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 58. I want you to look with me for a moment in verse number 58, verse number 1-4. Listen, holy hands is the key to being heard by God. Keeping our lives clean, spiritually speaking, keeping ourselves right with the Lord, amen, is the key to being heard by God. I want you to look at Isaiah 58. Look at verse number 1. Here's what God said to Isaiah. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You know the essence of what he's saying? Can I say this? He's saying, be an alarm clock. How many people hate alarm clocks? Thank God for snooze. Don't hit it too many times. You snooze too many times, you lose. Amen. But I hate alarm clocks. But some people sleep so sound and so deep, their alarm clock needs to be really, really loud. I thought I came up with an invention. You know, every time I think I come up with an invention, I find out somebody already invented it long ago. You know, it's the alarm clock, the loudness, and then the light of it. Now they got these alarm clocks. They don't just make noise. They light up. You see, what light does is light wakes you up. And I thought about that, and then I read, oh, they have it already. Our alarm clocks. We don't like alarm clocks, but we need them. We'll need them. You can't live, by the way, some people have the internal one they don't need, amen, an outer one, that's for sure. But some of us, well, we need an alarm clock, amen? But here's what God said to Isaiah. Tell the people, he verse number, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people, Israel, if you will, their transgression and the house of Jacob, their sin. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, preach to these people. By the way, they were God's people. They were living in sin. By the way, you know why you need an alarm clock, spiritually speaking, when you're living in sin? Because our ears get dull of hearing. when our hearts aren't right with the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible says. By the way, I have a message. It's called Senseless Christians. Talking about Christians who live in sin. They can't see straight. They can't hear right. They can't feel their past feeling and so on. Amen. And when you're living in sin and your senses are dulled and you just can't hear. By the way, the older some people get, the less they can hear. You got to really lift it up on them. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, God said, my people are living in sin. Isaiah, you need to make sure they hear. Show them. Now look at verse number 2. Yet, by the way, here's what God says about his people Israel. Yet they seek me daily. By the way, what he's implying in verse number 2 is they go through the motions. The nation of Israel, they're going through the motions, but they're dead and they're deaf. Let me put it to you the way Jesus said it. Well hath Isaiah said of you people, you hypocrites. You honor me with your mouth, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So Isaiah is dealing with a people who are still coming to the temple, still going through the motions, but they're living in sin. And God said, you need to show them, preach to them, help them to see. Look at verse number 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. They act like they love it. Verse number 2 goes on. They seek me and they act like they seek my way, or they delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. In other words, they act like they're right. They're far from God in their heart, but they're going through the motions and looking like and acting like everything's okay between me and the Lord. Talk about oblivious. Amen. And they act like they didn't forsake my ordinance, he said, of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Look at verse number 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. And what does it say? And thou seest not. Whoa, hold on a minute. Here's what you got. You got these people coming to the religious meeting, acting like they're right with the Lord. God knows they're in sin. Their hearts are far from God, but they're going through the motions, if you will. But they're fasting, they're praying. And here's what they're saying, though. Why are we fasting and God doesn't even see what's going on? Let me tell you what he's saying, what the nation is saying. We're fasting, but it doesn't seem like God's answering our prayers here. Let's read on. Verse number 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the days of your fast, it goes back to the message to these people, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labor. Verse number 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make what? Your voice to be heard on high. See, here's the thing. They were not living right. They were not living for God, but they figured, you know, in spite of the fact we're not living right, let's dress like we're going to the meeting. Let's sing praise. Let's honor God with our lips. Let's go through the motions and let's fast and seek the Lord. You know, maybe he'll answer our prayer because we're doing these religious duties and religious things in spite of how we live. But guess what God did? Didn't hear them. I want you to turn with me. Now, go to chapter 59. I'm skipping through the rest of chapter 58, which basically God instructs them the real reasons you ought to fast. They figured, hey, we're not living right, but if we fast, maybe God will hear our prayers and answer our prayers. Amen. Let's do our sacrifices, if you will. To obey is greater sacrifice. Amen. I want you to look with me, please, in Isaiah 59. What we have here in Isaiah 59, beginning of verse number 1, God answers their question, why are we not being heard? Why is not God doing anything in spite of our fasting and praying? Look at chapter 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. See that statement there? This is not talking about God not saving lost sinners. That word save is also the same as the word deliver, help, rescue. What is he saying? These, my people, are seeking me and they want to know why I'm not answering. And here's what God said. My hand's not too short to save you or to help you or to answer you. Look what he says in verse number, in the rest of the verse. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You know what people do when things go wrong? When your car breaks down, when your washing machine breaks down, when your refrigerator breaks down, when somebody comes in to find the problem, what's the first thing they do? Let me use a term, some of you men will get it. They troubleshoot the problem. Is that correct? In other words, by the way, nowadays you can pull your car up, they can put it on the diagnostic testing and already tell you, here's what's wrong. So what happens here, the people are saying, we're seeking the Lord, we're going through our religious duties, we're doing the things we think we ought to be doing religiously, God's not hearing, God's not answering. God said, well, let's do this, let's troubleshoot the problem here. Okay, my arm's not too short, my ear's not too heavy. Okay, there's nothing wrong with heaven. By the way, one of the best things you can do when you're troubleshooting, find out what is not wrong. Amen? I hate these mechanics that, well, we'll try this. Well, then if that don't work, we'll try that. Do you know every time they try something, it costs you something? I lived in Tennessee, Knoxville, for a year, year and a half. I drove by a transmission place. And you know the name of the transmission place was? Whatever It Takes. Can I tell you how I interpreted that? Whatever it cost. That's my interpretation. You can say, hey, whatever it takes, we'll get it done. I'm sure you will. But whatever it costs is my part. God troubleshoot. Nothing wrong with God. Can I get a witness on that? Nothing wrong with God. Okay, heaven's okay. Nothing wrong with heaven. Okay, let's go to verse number 2. Oh boy, we found the problem. Here it is, verse number 2. Your what? Iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. There it is. By the way, we're talking about holy hands, right? Look at verse 3. For your hands are what? Defiled with blood. You get that? You see, answered prayer, holy hand, keeping our lives clean, keeping our lives right with God is the key to being heard by God. The sad thing is there are many times we go through life and we think, well, I really don't need the Lord right now. Life has too many difficulties and too many problems and too many situations that come up. We need the Lord all the time. Amen? Let me give you a second thought. Would you turn with me, please? Oh, by the way, stay in Isaiah for a minute. Stay in Isaiah 59 for a moment. Not only are holy hands the key to being heard by God, but let me give you a second thought. Holy hands are the key to being helped by God. To being helped by God. In the very text that we read, he said, my arm's not too short to save. In other words, I can help you. The problem is you've got something in your life that's hindering my helping you. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 18, please. Psalms, chapter number 18. This is a message that challenges every one of us to keep our hearts and our lives clean and right with the Lord. Amen. Psalm. I keep thinking Isaiah. I don't want to go back there. Psalm 18, if you would. I want you to look at verse number 6. By the way, this is a chapter where David is just praising God. It's a great chapter. Great chapter of David praising God for all the victories that God had given him. Amen? And by the way, David, for the most part, lived with clean hands. For the most part. You know, the situation he had with Bathsheba and some other situations, that was not the totality of his life. Amen. I want you to look at verse number 6. Psalm 18, look at verse number 6. David said, in my distress, I called unto the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Now, in this chapter, he talks about all that crying out to God and God answering his prayer and hearing him. Look at verse number 16, please. Psalm chapter 18, verse number 16. And notice what the Bible says. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of what? Many waters. Waters is often a symbol of troubles. David saying, I cried out to God. He heard me. He sent from above. He helped me. Amen. Look at verse number 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Look at verse 19. He brought me forth into a large place. He took me out of a troublesome place. He brought me into a large place or a good place. He delivered me. Why? Look at verse number 19. Why did he deliver? He delivered me because he what? Delighted in me. Why did he delight in David? Look at verse number 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of what? My hands hath he recompensed me. See what David's saying? David's saying, let me tell you why God heard me. Let me tell you why God helped me. He answered me according to the way that I was living. I was living right, keeping my life clean, and he answered me. Look at verse 21. He said, for I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. Look at verse 23. I was also upright before him. I kept myself from mine iniquity. How about that? He's not saying I live perfectly. He's saying I live righteously. Amen? He kept himself. Look at verse 20. Do I want to end right there? Maybe verse 24. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness. According to what? The cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. There's an Old Testament illustration. In the book of Exodus, don't turn there for the sake of time, but in the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. See, we need God's help, don't we? In Exodus chapter number 17, you remember when in verse number 8, Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8, the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt. God went in there. Remember, he sent Moses in there to bring the children of Israel out. They came out. They came through the Red Sea. They got onto the other side and they were singing and they were excited and they were happy until they realized there was no water. There was no food. Major test, amen? How are we going to live? How are we going to, you know? And God miraculously provided the water and he provided the bread, if you will. Remember? And so they're going on. They get to chapter 17 of Exodus. And all of a sudden they come up to their first real enemy. And that's the Amalekites. The Bible says in Exodus 17:8, then came Amalek. You see, up to this point, their test had to do with circumstances. Now, this was the first real physical people that they had to battle. By the way, that's why Amalek's a picture of the flesh. This is the first fleshly people they come up against. Amen. And what do? Moses says to Joshua, choose out men, and I want you to go down there and fight the Amalekites. You remember that? And I'm going to stay up here with the rod of God in my hand. And I'm going to go to the top of the mountain. I'm going to seek God while you're down there battling. You remember that? And you remember what happened. By the way, his hands were very instrumental in the winning of this, didn't it? When he held up his hands to seek the Lord, what happened? The children of Israel were getting the victory. God was helping him. They were winning. But then his hands got weak and weary. And as they began to come down, the Amalekites were starting to get the victory over the children of Israel. And then two came to help him. Remember that? To hold up his hands. And then as they helped him to hold up his hands, God gave him the complete victory. That's a picture. By the way, we can't fight Amalek. We can't fight the flesh without God's help. And by the way, it's not easy to keep on trying to seek his help because it does get weak and weary. Amen? There's an expression. When you win a victory real easy, you say, he won hands down. You remember that? Anybody ever hear that statement? When it comes to the Christian life, you can't win hands down. It takes God's help. Amen? It's the key to being heard. by God. Let me give you another thought and we'll move along. I want you to turn with me for a moment. Actually, I'll tell you what. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to come down. Isaiah chapter number 1. Holy hands. I think John Wayne used to say, keep your nose clean. Amen. That's the essence of it. Holy hands. Stand clean. Stand right. I put it this way, to make sure I'm on praying grounds. Amen. It's the key to being heard by God. It's the key to being helped by God. I can't lift up hands that are living wickedly and expect God to hear and answer my prayers. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 1. What do I do? What do I do if my hands are dirty, if they're not clean? And I want to be heard by God. Here's what you do. We started in Isaiah 1:15. You remember that, right? Look with me again for a moment. Isaiah 1:15. When you spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Look what he says in verse 16. There's a remedy. Thank God there's a remedy. Amen. I guarantee you we're not keeping our hands clean constantly 100% all the time. But we thank God can get them clean. I want you to look at verse number 16. He said, I'm not going to hear you with those dirty hands. What do you got to do? Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil from your doing before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Stop it. You know, Christians don't like to hear this no more. You know that? They don't like to hear this no more. I can't. I can't stop it. I can't stop. If you're saved, you can. Why don't you just be honest and say, I don't want to? You know, Christians that live in sin just like to hear the 12 steps to get out of sin. So they can feel good that they're making some progress. There are some sins, you ain't no question about it, get out of there. Stop it. Amen? No doubt about it. You want to be heard by God? It's amazing. I've seen many Christians not want to live right, not want to do right until their loved one end up in the hospital in an emergency situation. It's amazing how fast you can stop something. Amen? He says, look at verse number 17 as we go on. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. What does that mean? It means do right. Stop doing wrong, start doing right. That's what he says. Look at verse number 18. Here's what he says to them. Come now. Don't delay. Don't wait. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. What is he saying? You got dirty hands? Stop doing those wrong things. Start doing the right thing. Come to me. Let's get them clean. Let's get them clean. Thank God we can get them clean. Amen. Your children come in from playing. Their hands are filthy, but they're starving. You say, you're not eating until you wash your hands. You know what they're going to do? Yes, they're going to wash their hands. Amen? I want you to see, if you would, please. By the way, let me quote this for you. Can I give you the New Testament parallel to this text? James 4:8. He's talking to those that are backslidden away from the Lord. He said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What are you saying? James said, if you're away from God and you're in the world, come out of the world and come back to God and clean those hands up. Amen? Clean those hands up. In Exodus, there's... Matter of fact, let's close with this one. Turn to Exodus, if you would, please. Exodus chapter number 30. Exodus chapter number 30. You and I, as saved people, we have good reason to stay right with God and keep clean. Amen? When temptation knocks on our door, whatever temptation it is, we got to say to ourselves, do I want to give in to this and lose favor with God? Or do I want to say no to that and maintain favor with God? Amen? Exodus chapter number 30. In this book, God gave Moses the instructions on all the pieces of furniture for the tabernacle system. And we're going to look at one of those pieces of furniture for the tabernacle system. In Exodus 30, look at verse number 17, please. Exodus 30, verse number 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver. We're going to talk about the laver. Make a laver of brass, and his foot, this laver was to have a top part and a part for the feet, also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons, by the way, that's the priest, right, shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash their with water, that they die not. And when they come near into the altar to minister to a burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout all their generations. It's understood that nobody can be perfect. Between the altar, that brazen altar is a picture of salvation. That's where the sacrifice initially was made. And from the altar of salvation, you made your way toward the tabernacle where the presence of God was at. And for the priest, it was to get into his presence, but it would also to minister and to do his job. And between that altar, that salvation, and the presence of God and serving the Lord, there was a laver. We get the word lavatory from it. A place of washing, where the priests could wash their hands and their feet so that they could have clean hands and feet to be able to go into the presence of the Lord for fellowship and also for ministry. In fact, you'll recall when God called Moses, Moses came toward the burning bush and God said, come not nigh hither, don't come any further. Take off your shoes. The place whereon you stand is holy ground. You remember that? You remember in Joshua where Joshua ran into the captain of the Lord of hosts and Joshua got near him and he said, stop. Loose your shoes. The place where you stand is holy ground. You remember when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet? And Peter said, not my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. By the way, that has nothing to do with salvation. I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. He was already saved, Peter. Flesh and blood had not revealed to him, but the Father already revealed to him who Christ was. He knew he was and believed who he was. You have no part with it. You can't minister for me. You can't serve me if I can't wash your feet. And he went to the extreme and said, well, wash everything. You don't need it all washed. If you're already saved, you're already saved. But every once in a while, you need your feet clean. And by the way, your hands. We got to keep our hands clean. But when they get dirty, and they will, we go to that laver. So what is that laver? That laver to me is 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be clean and we can clean our hands and our life again to be able to have answers to prayer. Amen. Somebody noted as I was studying years ago about the tabernacle system, every piece of the furniture in the book of Exodus, God gave them precise descriptions, dimensions, this tall, this wide, this, this, this. Guess what? When it came to the laver, there's absolutely no dimensions given to the laver. One commentator said it reminds you of the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. When it comes to cleansing and forgiveness, there's no dimension. There's no limitation. All sin shall be forgiven. Amen? All of our sin, all of our unrighteousness. If you're a Christian, no matter what you've ever done, you still can be washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? You don't have to be resaved. Thank God for that. Amen. We just need to be cleaned. I'm going to ask Brother Jason and Brother Ralph if they'll make their way. We're going to close in a moment with a hymn. It's called Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior. What this hymn does, it encourages us. Keep the way clear between us and the Lord. We don't want nothing to come between us and his favor. Amen. His blessing. on our life. And as they close with that hymn, after the hymn is done, I'll come and I'll close with a word of prayer, if you will. I think summed it up. Amen. That's our challenge, and we have good reason to do so. We want to just mention before closing in prayer this morning, certainly good to have a visitor with us. We thank you for coming today. And also, we just want to say next week, as Brother Ralph already said, we're having the Lord's table in our morning service. If you've been saved and have never been baptized by immersion, according to the scriptures, we would love to be able to share with you Bible truth if need be, if you need to understand that better. And we'd like to see you get baptized. And so we need to know today so we could set it up for next week. So if you have any concerns, please see me after the service, if you would, please. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity, again, that we had to gather in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Lord, to begin the week, the first day of the week, and to get a good start, Lord, on the week is to face you before facing the week. Father, please, I pray that the challenge to keep our hearts and lives right with thee. We need you, Lord, on a daily basis, and we have loved ones that need you. We can't afford to go without answered prayer. We need your help to make it through this life. Please help us to do all that we can to stay clean. And Lord, when we fail to stay clean, and we all will fail to stay clean at one point or another, no doubt about it, Thank you for the forgiveness of God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that still cleanses us on a daily basis from our sin to allow us to have access to thee. We pray for your watch care over us and our dismissal. Lord, help everyone to safely get to their destinations. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Amen.